pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that great American, Big Al. How you doing, Al?
Hey, doing great, Vito. Good to be here as always. How are you, sir?
I am doing well. I'm doing well. It's Monday. It's the first Monday of fall. Everybody's going gaga over that one, man. Didn't realize it. And fall is upon us. And getting ready for the holiday season. You only get, what, two, three more months until Christmas? Holy guacamole. Holy cannoli, I should say. Oh, wait a minute. September 25th. October, 3 months until Christmas Day. 90 days, folks. Maybe that 89 days. So,
boy, this year went by fast.
I want to make my list and check it twice.
All I know is this year went by very, very quickly.
Yeah, you know, the nightmare has continued with, with the Joe Biden regime. Certainly it's not something that we want to relive another 4 years. I mean, you know, when you look back and you think about January 20, 2021, you certainly look back and you say, my God, it's been, what is it, 900 and, I think it was, 900 and I'm looking it up right now. Hold on a second. I got it. 979 days since the nightmare of the anti-American Joe Biden had begun. So, and his regime. So imagine that. 979 days ago, America was prosperous and we were energy independent. And it took less than 365 days to change that and to install the highest inflation in 40 years, the highest gas prices ever, highest grocery prices ever. So, it's amazing, what a destructive individual or regime will do to an economy and to a spirit, to an American spirit. But that spirit, though, is being rekindled, and it's the passion is starting to flow around America because they see the type of individuals inside of the Biden Harris Obama regime.
Hell yeah, nobody likes a Marxist except other Marxists.
No,
and they don't even like each other because they fight.
and those that are doing the bidding for them, they're going to be the first ones that will be controlled by the Marxist anti-Americans. But before we go any further, in the chat room, in the page setup I've been putting in our narrative, the episode info, I've included our friend Bigfoot's place.blogspot.com. And if you get a chance and you want an eclectic reading, and I recommend you add Bigfoot's place.blogspot.com to your blog reading. It's a menu of periodicals that you can go to, including The Hill, The Daily Caller, Newsmax, New York Post, and then you get some international flavor in there as well. The Gatestone Institute, The Stream, European News, you get Page Magazine, The Federalist, Canada Free Press, Balkan Input. Bigfoot does a fantastic job, and plus, as Bigfoot is traveling around the United States, he likes to put his travels and some photos in his travels as he's doing right now. He's traveling to Arizona to an undisclosed location, meeting with an unnamed individual. So you know, check out Bigman's Place on blogspot.com. He's a good friend of the show, and it's just great reading. I just really, I try to read it every day, and there are some articles that you know, you have to remember to read, but it's like you and Big are on the same wavelength, so does a good job of putting things together. I love the American Thinker, and I love the Federalist, and I think Molly Hemingway, she does a great job at the Federalist, and some great, great stories in there as well. So, so this past weekend, it was the ladies' version of the Ryder Cup. It's called the Solheim Cup. It was played in Spain in Finca Cortesín in Andalucía, Spain. It pitted the United States ladies versus the European ladies. The United States is captained by Stacey Lewis, the ladies by Suzanne Patterson. For the Europeans, it's a three-day event. The first 2 days, Friday and Saturdays, you have two sessions, a morning session and an afternoon session, and there's four matches in each session, and they play a different style of team play. In the morning match on Friday, now you have to understand that the European women were heavily favored in this. They have a strong team. But the U.S. ladies came out hot, and the hot U.S. ladies came out hot. They actually swept the morning, which is unheard of. They swept the morning competition 4-0, and it's the first one to 14.5. The United States needed 14.5 points to win the cup from the European ladies. All the European ladies had to do was go 14 or better, and they retained the cup. So Friday morning, it was incredible. The ladies played fantastic, and that's where it ended, because from Friday afternoon on, the U.S. ladies played anemic. They ended up with Sunday's matches are individual play, so there's 12 ladies on the European side, 12 ladies on the American side, the United States, and then they pick who will play which player of the 12. So you'll have 12 matches, individual matches, and unfortunately, the ladies, the United States ladies, could only muster 14 points, as the European ladies mustered 14 points. So since it ended in a tie, the European ladies retain the Solheim Cup. Very disappointing loss. It was an outstanding start, and unfortunately, they could not capitalize off of that aggressive start that they had to keep the European ladies on their heels and win the cup and bring it back to the United States. So, but you know, kudos to the American ladies, kudos to the European ladies. It was a fine match, but sadly, the Americans did not prevail. So we'll have to wait two more years.
Well, the American men are going to take a beating next week.
Yeah. I agree.
I'm afraid to say.
I think you're right. The Ryder Cup will start Friday. Opening ceremonies will be Thursday. It's going to be held in Rome, Italy. So it's really it's kind of cool, man. It's like you and I actually. I think we drove by the Marco Simone Golf and Country Club outside of Rome. So it's too bad that Molinari brothers couldn't qualify. Unfortunately, they didn't mount enough points. And of course, the Euro captain, who is Luke Bottles, he was going to take his GBI buds anyways. As it turned out that he did. But, yeah, the Euro team's got a really, really strong team. So it could be a beatdown of the U.S. team. There's a couple of weak players on there on the U.S. team, so it'll see what happens. I mean, if Justin Rose for the Euros and Shane Lowry don't have a good Ryder Cup match, it could keep it close to the point where the U.S. men retain the cup. So. But it's historically when it's held in Europe, the United States team doesn't play well in Europe. So we'll see what happens. And that starts on Friday, the same method. Two two matches a day. Friday session, Friday will be a morning and an afternoon session. Saturday, a morning and afternoon session. And Sundays will be the finals, the individual competition. So good luck to the U.S. men's team.
Yeah, I spent more time watching college football rather than the ladies this year.
Wow. Well, you know, sympathy goes out to our, before you say any more, but sympathy goes out to our
Iowa.
Hank Jones. His Iowa team got spanked by Penn State. So 31-0.
More like, I would say more like bitch slapped. And, yeah, I was feeling bad for Hank because I was watching just as you were.
Well,
I shed a tear for Hank. Oh, poor Hank. But
I'm a Penn State fan. But you got to be ecstatic, man. Your Florida State Seminoles, man, they took on Clemson Tigers, and they pulled out a great one after almost losing in regulation play when Shipley went wide left, correct? Went wide left and sent it into overtime, and your Seminoles really really performed well against Clemson. So they remain undefeated.
Yeah, a combination of a key injury and on Clemson's side and some bad play calling by the coach. The Florida State Seminoles pulled off a exciting win. It was definitely the play of the game. But there was also some other fireworks going on between Oregon and Colorado. In fact, Oregon head coach Dan Lanning, he gave voice to all those people that are uneasy to speak their minds about Coach Prime. And if you haven't been following college football, Coach Prime is Deion Sanders, who is trying to razzle-dazzle, and I don't know. I'm not a big fan of the guy. He's a showman more than a coach, who is a great player for my Florida State, so it pains me to say that I don't like the guy, but hey, I don't like the guy. But Coach Lanning of Oregon, who they played this week, he said, the Cinderella story's over, men. They're fighting for clicks, meaning Deion Sanders, and we're fighting for wins, which is the quote of the week. And Coach Prime Deion Sanders got spanked, and I say, good. Not only did he get spanked, it was a 42-6 spanking. So that should humble Coach Prime.
I think the media is certainly guilty of hyping it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm impressed with Deion for one. He won in Division II, and he took the job and thinks he can coach in the Big Time, which is Division I. And you know, they came out and they've won three games now, and they've lost one. They
mm-hmm.
actually got spanked by number 15 ranked Oregon. And the Oregon Ducks, man, they quacked them up really well. But I think Deion he can coach. I'm impressed. He put together a good coaching staff. You know, Colorado has to be happy. They've got two more wins than they had all of last year, and they'll tie. With two more wins, they'll tie what they had as their best in the last 5 years. So, I don't know. I think the only thing that he's going to die by is going to be the portal. Because he had what? I understand they had 85 players go to Colorado. The team was decimated because that many players just kind of up and left after the coach got fired. Before they hired Deion. So it's going to be interesting. I think Deion's in the coaching game to stay. I would not be surprised to see him move to the SEC, in my opinion. But go ahead.
No,
it's too early.
I agree. And his son is a great quarterback as well.
Yeah.
And in college ball, he's making $4 million a year in playing college football. So things just aren't what they used to be.
No, they're not. That's what the sad part of it is. They aren't what they used to be. Hey, and before we go on, too, let's give a shout out and send our thoughts and prayers to Sue from New Mexico. And thank you, Luchadora, for letting us know. Sue had been in the hospital, and I see that she's on the board right now. So I want to say you get well soon, Sue. And I just want to send our thoughts and prayers to you, and you worry about getting better. Back to the old
get scene. Well.
You know, the Senate, United States Senate, has a dress code, and at least they had a dress code. And under the Senate Majority Leader of the Destructive Democrat Party, Chuck Schumer, he decided to change the Senate dress code to allow for John Fetterman to insult America and Americans and dress like a slob. And let's just say it. You know, John Fetterman, there is no excuse for it. If he has a mental issue, you know, he suffered a stroke, and you know, that's very sad. He should have never ran for the United States Senate in the mental capacity that he's in, the mental state that he's in. But there's absolutely zero excuse for dressing like a slob in the United States Senate. If he can't come to the United States Senate dressed in a suit and tie, okay, then he shouldn't be a United States Senator. He can't speak in complete sentences, but neither can Joe Biden. So now we have two useful idiots, one in the United States Senate and one in the executive branch in the White House, among the other 534 mental midgets that are in the United States Congress. But there's no reason to change the dress code. And to have a United States senator dressed like a slob, what does that speak about the United States Senate and the Senate chambers? Here's a guy, he dresses in a sports a hooded sweatshirt and athletic shorts, not even dress shorts, you know, not even golf shorts, okay, and a nice, you know, golf shirt. I mean, you know, put the Master shirt on or put the Oak Hill shirt on or something, you know, to recognize the state of Pennsylvania. He looks like a freaking slob, and it's an absolute disgrace. And so New York Post writer decided he was going to dress like the mentally challenged Fetterman and walk into some of the nicest restaurants in New York City. And he walked into the Daniel on the Upper Side. And what's reported by The Blaze is that the New York Post journalist walks into – his name is John Levine, by the way. He walks into the Daniel Upper East Side restaurant. It's a posh restaurant. It's like $260 a plate for like a five-course meal or a four-course meal. And the maitre d' turns him away. And the maitre d', you know, says, I'm sorry, we have a dress code. Okay, so, oh, sorry, it's $275 a plate, a menu, okay? So the maitre d' says, the New York Post reported, noted that the restaurant seemed to demonstrate more common sense than Congress. That was really a very good statement. The maitre d' at Daniel confessed that she did not know who Fetterman was. She added that the establishment has turned away guests for being improperly dressed, regardless of their occupation. No athletic wear. So the destructive Democrat Party, not only are they destroying the very fabric of our society, but now they're taking that destruction to the United States Senate, and they have done so in the United States House to allow headdresses. When Nancy Pelosi, who made excuses for incestuous Ilhan Omar, decided they were going to change the headdress rule and now allow headdresses. So it's a pretty sad time in American politics. We already know, you know, how contentious things are. But for Chuck Schumer to allow a member of the United States Senate to dress like a slob is really unconscionable. And even Democrat Republican Senator from Maine, Senator Susan Collins, stated, I think there is a certain dignity that we should be maintaining in the Senate. And to do away with the dress code, to me, debases the institution. Well, she used the words dignity and Democrat in the same sentence. And Democrats have no dignity anymore. The Uniparty has no dignity. And it's all about me, and it's about their own self-interests. And sadly, to allow a member of the United States Senate to dress like a slob is unconscionable. So shame on Schumer, but Schumer has no shame. I mean, let's face it, not many Democrats have any shame as it is. But so we'll use this. We'll use the party affiliation theme for this because since John Fetterman is a Democrat and Chuck Schumer is a Democrat and Chuck Schumer controls the United States Senate, he makes the decision on the dress code, and shame on them. Shame on them. Never thought I'd ever see the day when you have somebody who disgraces the U.S. Senate like John Fetterman and Chuck Schumer have done.
Well, we experienced some of that. Ronald Reagan was known, President Ronald Reagan was known for always wearing a jacket and tie in the Oval Office, and he was asked about that, and he said, that is showing respect for the office of the presidency, and that is why he always dressed that. They have a dress code, as you said, in the Senate for the same reasons, but as usual, the Democrat Marxists, they are caving to Mr. Fetterman, Senator Fetterman, but everyone else must continue with the dress code that they're relaxing for one person. To me, it says more about the Democrat Party having no respect for the Senate and John Fetterman having no respect as a senator. It's a sad day. You know what it's going to look like next? They're going to have it's going to be like NASCAR. And that the people who are supporting a certain senator will be able to put they can put things on their clothes for people that are paying them for making big contributions. Like they would have ExxonMobil on their sleeve, or in case of the Democrats, they would have the Chinese Communist Party on their shoulders, and then they would get income and donations from advertising companies and people who support them. I think they're going to look like NASCAR senators soon if this keeps up. So vote Republican.
Hey, Al. You know,
hey.
a member of Congress cannot wear a big enough shirt to accommodate the host of sponsors that they have, that they take money from. I mean, can you imagine what Bob Menendez's shirt would look like? I mean, it's, you know, speaking of the U.S. Senate, so Senator Bob Menendez has been in the news all weekend, folks. Don't you find that so alarming? Senator Bob Menendez is running for re-election, and suddenly, out of nowhere, boom, he's charged, he's indicted on corruption charges, him and his wife. And so imagine that sponsor shirt that Bob Menendez would have. I mean, he'd have to wear, you know, a long coat like John Wick, okay, and go down to his ankles to list all of the sponsors that he was bought and paid for by. And, you know, we'll call them sponsors because, you know, you don't want to pay for play. And Joe Biden doesn't have a jacket long enough to or a shirt long enough to wear, you know, considering the Ukraine, Russia, Iran, Communist China. And then you start listing all the corporations that he's bought and paid for, you know, like Burisma. The list is incredible. But Menendez is back in the news. And this past Friday, Senator Bob Menendez was charged with corruption-related offenses for the second time in 10 years. And this time, both Bob and his wife, Nadine Menendez, are accused of accepting hundreds of thousands of dollars of bribes. Imagine a Democrat senator involved in accepting bribes, accepting bribes. So the bribes included cash, gold, home mortgage payment, a luxury vehicle, and compensation for low or no-show jobs. Like, you know, not showing up for the United States Senate might be considered a no-show job. I mean, half of the U.S. Senate could be charged with that. But the interesting thing is already, and this is why it's interesting about the timing of this. Not that I'm saying that you're innocent until proven guilty, but the evidence seems to be a bit damning because there's an article that states that Bob, in the bills that the currency that they found in his safe or locked away in a safety deposit box or in his house, the feds found fingerprints on envelopes that were stuffed with $100 bills, something like $500,000 worth of bills. And the fingerprints on those bills also were the fingerprints of three individuals that were named in the influence peddling of Senator Bob Menendez: Wael Hanna, an Egyptian businessman, Halal Foods, Jose Uribe, and Fred Fred Daibes. They're all associates and businessmen of Bob Menendez, and they found their fingerprints on envelopes and I believe on the gold bullions that he also had stored in his home. So good old Bob Menendez is not faring too well in this little problem that the DOJ sees gold bars and $500,000 of cash, crisp new $100 bills. This is the second corruption charge that's been levied against Menendez by the Justice Department. The first one when he was running for reelection in 2016, the Senate Democrat caucus rules will force Menendez to step aside as chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee of the Senate, and it's already been confirmed by the destructive Democrat Chuck Schumer, the majority leader, that indeed Senator Bob Menendez has resigned from the, or stepped down, excuse me, from the Foreign Relations Committee. Now, while Menendez is slamming the indictment, and he said, for years, forces behind the scenes have repeatedly attempted to silence my voice and dig my political grave. And since this investigation was leaked nearly a year ago, there have been an active smear campaign of anonymous sources, innuendos, to create an air of impropriety where none exists, he said. The excess of these first prosecutors, they have misrepresented the normal work of a congressional office. I guess it's to take money and to be greased by foreign sources, or, you know, on top of that, no content making false claims against me. They have attacked my wife for a longstanding friendship she's had before she and I even met. Menendez also previously set up a legal defense fund beginning in April. His wife sold gold bars worth as much as $400,000, according to the Senate's most recent fiscal disclosure forms. Now, some of us, you know, we can probably relate. You have kind of a slush fund at your house, and, you know, in case if something goes wrong, banks are closed, you want to keep some cash around. But, God, you know, I told my wife, I said, we're grossly underfunded. How come we don't have $500,000 of cash in the house? I think we're $499,900 short. So I said, we're going to have to do something about that. But then again, I don't have access like Bob Menendez has been paid on. The conspiracy counts also charged his wife, Nadine, and three people described as New Jersey associates and businessmen, Wael Hanna, Jose Uribe, and Fred Daibes. The lawyers for Nadine Menendez said she denies any wrongdoing and would fight the indictment. Now, the interesting thing about this Wael character, that would be Wael Hanna character, is that he is an Egyptian businessman. And the indictment, prosecutors accused Menendez to trying to sway the president's choice of the top federal prosecutor in New Jersey to benefit one of his business associates and to pressure the Department of Agriculture to protect a business monopoly another contact had from Egypt. The Department of Agriculture in 2019 had contacted Egypt to object to it giving Menendez contact Hanna monopoly rights related to supplying halal meat to the United States. Yet Hanna met with Menendez in his office along with others, including an Egyptian intelligence official. in May 2019 asking for help fending off the U.S. agency's opposition. The group went to Washington, D.C. steakhouse for dinner that evening, the indictment said. 2 days later, son of a gun, 2 days after Wael Hanna had sponsored a dinner for Senator Bob Menendez to call off the Department of Agriculture so that Hanna can have exclusive rights, a monopoly inside the United States for halal meat. 2 days later, after this dinner, Menendez allegedly called an Agriculture Department official asking them to stop opposing Hanna's venture. When official one attempted to explain why a monopoly was a detriment to the United States interest, Menendez reiterated this, his demand in sum and substance that the USDA stop interfering with his EG Halal's monopoly. Official one did not accede to Menendez's demand, but is EG Halal nevertheless kept its monopoly, the indictment said. So here we go, pay for play. You wonder why the United States Senate is a good old boy system, huh? Interesting.
Well, Senator Menendez has hired the same lawyer as Hunter Biden to defend him against federal bribery charges. Menendez enlisted attorney Abe Lowell on Friday as news of his legal jeopardy captivated Washington. A spokesman for prosecutors told CNBC Lowell is also representing Biden in his defense against federal gun charges. The longtime senator is now facing calls to resign from prominent fellow Democrats, but I'm skeptical. I'm thinking, and you tell me if this is crazy. All right, Menendez is a small-time corrupt politician. His numbers are only in six figures, not in seven figures, as opposed to the Biden family. Six figures, he's a piker. He's like a small-time criminal. And I think that the Democrat Party is coming down on Menendez hard, and they're going to make him the poster boy for Democrats and the rule of law, and that nobody is above the law, and that they're going to use this to say, take the high road and say that they believe that criminals should all be put in jail and prosecuted, and Bob Menendez is our show. Meanwhile, they're letting Biden and Hunter Biden get away with murder.
Now, let me preface this. You and I have not talked about this case, have we, at all, right?
No, we have not.
Yet you and I have arrived at the same answer. I mean,
get out of town.
Same exact. I am not kidding. You know what? I am not kidding. I mean, the timeliness of this is interesting on two accounts. One is suddenly the Democrat Party has found ethics, and that we know is hogwash. Okay, there is no ethics, especially with the Democrat Party, nor with the Uniparty Party. And they're telling us now we're supposed to believe that the Democrats suddenly are concerned about ethics, and yet there was no problem with them calling for protesting and going after the United States Supreme Court justices because they had a difference of opinion, and now the Democrats, they are so scared of Donald J. Trump and the fact that the plan of action has been from the establishment is to move his supporters away from him. That has been the movement all along since November of 2016. How do we move the supporters away from Donald Trump? And They have tried, they have lied. And now, all of a sudden, whatever they're trying to do is not working. And so they find this low-level old senator who has already been tried on corruption charges, okay, Bob Menendez, and they're regurgitating those charges just in time for the 2024 elections. And and just in time for the 2024 elections, and you've got these politicians like, you know, Chris Christie, who's only in the race to berate and attack Donald Trump, the current governor of New Jersey, all calling for Bob Menendez to resign. Okay, but there were no calls for Joe Biden to resign when they found, you know, tens of thousands of stolen documents as a U.S. senator, as a vice president, in Joe Biden's garage in Chinatown and at the Penn Biden Center, where the communist Chinese spent $72 million in helping to build the Penn Biden Center. And then, of course, the laptop, the Hunter Biden laptop, you know, the sanctimonious left wing, okay, has not called for Joe Biden to resign or step down as their party's nominee in October of 2021 when it was found this laptop. What they did was the left wing, the Uniparty, did was they pranced out 51 intelligence officials to dispute the Hunter Biden laptop as Russian disinformation. And it turns out that all 51 lied. So now we're to believe 10 years later, okay, and the timeliness of Bob Menendez being put up as the sacrificial lamb of the Democrat Party, so the Democrats can sit there and say, just as you stated, Al, we believe in the rule of law. We believe nobody is above the law. And you see, now we have held up our own U.S. senator, and it's time for the Republicans to act the same and to call for President Trump to step down from seeking the party's nomination in 2024. That's what you can just see it coming, you know. And we're to believe, okay, that suddenly, okay, on Friday, just before the weekend news cycle breaks, Senator Bob Menendez, he's the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, that is now indicted on charges of fraud and corruption. Guess what makes the whole weekend news? And what did it take off? What it took off was the news about Iran. It took off the news about Joe Biden unilaterally making a decision to swap five Americans for five Iranian national prisoners. Okay? Now, that one, you know, you can agree with that. But in addition to that, without the United States Senate approval, not only did with Biden and his anti-American regime negotiate the prisoner swap, but they agreed to release $6.5 billion in cash to Iran. Now, at what point in time do the sanctions that we had put in place, do we hold them? We held them up from 2017 to 2000 and to the end of 2020 under President Trump. But as soon as Joe Biden was installed, they removed all of those sanctions. And we bought oil from Iran. We, meaning the Biden regime, bought oil from Iran. And that's in violation of the Iran agreement that Obama and Biden put in place. And the Biden regime unilaterally releases $6.5 billion of cash to Iran. And suddenly, that very same week, last Friday, suddenly Bob Menendez takes over the headlines. See, nothing is coincidental in politics today. Joe Biden is off the stage again. His poor performance with President Lula of Brazil, his poor performance at the United Nations. Okay, you're not talking about that. All you're talking about is the corruption of Bob Menendez and his wife. And now you prance out all the Uniparty members, and they all say the same thing. I think Bob Menendez should resign. I think he should resign. I think he should resign. And now all of a sudden the Democrat Party says, look, we believe in the rule of law. I think in the rule of law, I think everybody is not above the law, and I think the law applies to everybody. And Bernie Sanders. You know, I believe the law belongs to anybody. Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't. It's how they, the Uniparty, can promote their disinformation and misinformation. And Bob Menendez now is a sacrificial lamb, somebody that the Democrats had to sacrifice, and you do it in a safe state like New Jersey, because there's no way, shape, or form that a Republican is going to win that United States Senate race in the state of New Jersey. The Democrat Party machine will ensure that, but it's a safe seat to sacrifice. And Bob Menendez, how old is he? 70? 74? 75? So you get rid of another old-timer. Doesn't matter. You got Cori Bush in there. You know, that'll blow hard. Whatever the hell his name is. He's in there. What's his name? Booker. Cory Booker's in the United States Senate for Jersey. So it's not like you're going to lose that a Democrat to hold that seat. Was that enough of a bloviation? I don't see this being a it's more of a sanctimonious thing than anything else that Bob Menendez, that suddenly they go out and he's he's now on the chopping block.
Yeah, it's too convenient. It's interesting that we both saw the same thing. And if you look it up, if you Google this or DuckDuckGo it and try to find the same scenario, I have yet to see this scenario with any frequency being talked about by the talking head. So I tend to think we're on the right side of this.
Oh, you know, what did our old friend Andrew say? That Islam is so predictable? Well, the Uniparty in Washington, D.C. is so predictable. They are so desperate to get Donald Trump any way, shape, or form they can. And so now they look at safe seats and safe areas and the sacrificial lamb. Bob, you know what? We're accusing you of taking $500,000. That's an absolute pittance how you'll be compensated if you just play along. We're going to find you not guilty. Don't worry about that. Okay? And so, you know what? You don't have the stresses of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee job. We'll give that, to one of our other loyal chimpanzees. And then you just sit back, okay? You'll be taken care of. And after all this is done, we'll make sure that by November of 2024, you'll be, exonerated from this. You can retire handsomely with a handsome pension, and we'll make sure that pension. And by the way, Morgan Stanley will hire you, as their liaison, okay? Or, I don't know, maybe ExxonMobil will, and you can work on working on electric vehicles that can be built inside of the United States. So he'll be compensated well. He's been a loyal soldier. He'll allow him, himself to be, used as the poster child. And then all the sanctimonious Democrats will come out from behind their rock and they'll all say the same thing. It'll all be a coordinated thing. Well, we think Bob should, for the good of the party, for the rule of law, because the rule of law applies to everyone. And we call on our Republican colleagues to do the same with Donald Trump. You'll hear that too. We have some of the other, outspoken lefties will come out and they'll start, will come out and start saying, things like, I think it's incumbent upon the members on the other side of the aisle. They make the call and they become the leaders of their party so that Donald Trump can see that he is not welcomed inside of Washington, D.C. politics and the crimes that he committed, especially insurrection. All that nonsense. You can hear all the gibberish from the same old liars that are in Washington, D.C. The Washington, D.C. syndicate works well, In 2017, it was announced, Menendez's trial was a mistrial. So how convenient was that? And now, he's back up on charges and they found fingerprints this time. Amazing, huh? I mean, they actually found fingerprints. They couldn't find fingerprints on a Hunter Biden laptop. Okay. And they couldn't find anything, that shows that the laptop was absolutely real, but, within in less than 1 year, they found all kinds of fingerprints and DNA on envelopes that contained all of this hard cash and these gold bullions. But how does the Justice Department, how do they do that? I mean, the inconsistencies, okay, of how the Justice Department conducts themselves, it's truly amazing. It's truly amazing how how dishonest they are and disingenuous they are.
Are you surprised? I mean, really?
You know what? I'm not surprised. You know, I'm absolutely 100% disgusted. And I believe there are millions of Americans who are disgusted. And I know that the Twitter followers and the people on Twitter that I follow and the comments, they're disgusted as well, because there's no accountability any longer. And as long as you're on the left side of the aisle and you have a D, a Democrat after your name, you're a protected species. And you've got Biden engaging in disinformation and misinformation. And the big thing is, here's a good example of the disinformation and misinformation. This is from the Daily Caller, okay, this past weekend. The Daily Caller had an article in there. It's titled, "Ex-Intel Officials Who Signed the Infamous Hunter Biden Laptop Letter Keep Landing Gigs Within the Biden Administration." Of course, that headline caught my attention. So several of the 51 former intelligence officials who signed the letter casting doubt on the authenticity of Hunter Biden's laptop before the 2020 presidential election have ended up serving in roles with Joe Biden's administration. In less than 3 years, the Biden regime has brought on 6 out of the 51 former intelligence officials, signatories of the October 2020 letter, arguing that the leak of emails from Hunter Biden's laptop had all classified earmarks of a Russian information operation. And remember, that Russian information operation was not just confined to 2020 election. It was also in 2016. And I'm going to get to Hillary Rodham Clinton in just a second here, because now this all ties in together. Okay, so earlier this week, the Biden Homeland Security, the DHS, selected 3 signatories of the letter to join a federal intelligence experts national security group. So three of the 51 who intentionally lied in 2020 about Hunter Biden's laptop being a Russian disinformation campaign are now at taxpayer expense on the payroll for the Department of Homeland Security under the anti-American Antonio Mayorkas. Homeland Security, in a tweet on September 19th, at Senator Mayorkas, Undersecretary for Intelligence and Analysis Ken Weinstein, and his counterterrorism coordinators Nicholas Rasmussen, announced the establishment of the Homeland Intelligence Experts Group. The group is comprised of private sector experts who will provide their unique perspectives on federal government intelligence enterprises to DHS, INA, and the Office of Counterterrorism Coordinator. And guess what, folks? Ka-ching, ka-ching. The United States taxpayer now is on the hook for 3 more liars who were engaged in disinformation and misinformation and tampering with the 2020 presidential election. And Joe Biden and his anti-American regime is rewarding those liars, because that's what it is. It's lying. Disinformation and misinformation is nothing more than lying. And Biden is rewarding those individuals who helped tamper with the 2020 elections. Former Director of National Intelligence James Clapper. Wow. Where have you heard that name? former CIA Director John Brennan and former CIA Operations Officer Paul Kolb will be members of the new group, which will advise DHS on intelligence and national security matters, including terrorism, fentanyl, transborder issues, and emerging technology, according to DHS announcement. All of them signed on to the October 2020 letter casting doubt. No, they weren't casting doubt. What they were doing is they were tampering with the 2020 elections on the legitimacy of Hunter Biden's laptop before the presidential election. That included the New York Times. It included the Washington Post. It included all of the DNC American media outlets. And 51 intelligence officers, officials, including Clapper and Kolb. And now Clapper, Brennan, and Kolb will be paid again by the United States taxpayer because they're going to serve inside of the DHS. There is absolutely zero reason to be hiring these three individuals. Alejandro Mayorkas, has been negligent since he's been installed as the DHS secretary. He has failed the American people. And now these window dressers are now creating yet another level of bureaucracy. And it's called Homeland Intelligence Experts Group. What a bunch of hogwash. It is an absolute slap in the face to the United States people. You mean to tell me after 3 years, okay, and they've allowed fentanyl to absolutely pour through our borders, to kill our children, to kill Americans. Suddenly, just before an election year, they're going to tackle the issue of fentanyl. After they open up the borders on January 22nd, 2021, they opened up the U.S. borders, and the shameless Joe Biden, little Joe, the little liar that he is, the wicked man, as professed in Proverbs 6, verses 12 through 19, the wicked man with a proud look and a lying tongue had the audacity to blame President Trump for the border crisis that we see today. I mean, how much more disingenuous can you get when a liar stands before you with the presidential seal and proclaims that it was the previous president who was the cause of the border crisis today? And yet, his inept an incompetent vice president who he named, okay, named her as border czar. Oh, and you know when you start tying and you're connecting all the dots, you know that now there's a coordinated effort when James Clyburn, okay, from South Carolina, you know, that genius comes out and now he accuses Americans of being racist and misogynist because of Kamala Harris's low approval rating. You know what? Kamala Harris is dumb. She's an idiot. And it's not because she's black. It's not because she's brown. It's not because she's a light-skinned black person. She's just fucking stupid. Okay? And when she sits there and she laughs at you and she comes up with these word salad, you know, mixes to sound intelligent, the American people aren't dumb. And now the Democrats are so desperate, they're using race once again to demean the American people. The fact is that they have two imbeciles in the White House as vice president and as president. We have a mental midget, little Joe Biden, who can't even walk any longer. The abuse that they put this man under, who is unfit to be president of the United States. He's unfit to be dog catcher of the United States. When he was standing next to Lula at the United Nations, I'm going to tell you something, Al. When he was standing there, he was fiddling with his earpiece. To me, I have seen a dementia patient when they become obsessed with something. And if you put the clock on, it had to be at least 4 minutes when he was messing with his earpiece. He was fixated on his earpiece. After he walked into the flag, the Brazilian flag, and then he stands in the middle of the stage while the UN official is speaking and Lula's on the other side, and he's fiddling with his earpiece. That is what a dementia patient does. And to think that this man is supposedly making decisions is mortifying as to what they're putting this patient through. But you know, he's doing exactly what he was installed to do. He was doing exactly what the powers to be in Washington, D.C. wanted. The only thing that they're so giddy about is Joe Biden's giving them probably a year more than they thought. And so now it's incumbent upon them to take action and now be the aggressor. And so now they're prancing out James Clyburn, and they're playing the race card. And I find that absolutely reprehensible. It just goes to show how negligent and how partisan the press in the United States truly is. You have three liars, three confirmed liars, okay, that are so-called intelligence experts. James Clapper, John Brennan, and CIA operations officer Paul Kolb. They absolutely lied in trying to tamper with the 2020 election, and now they're part of DHS? Because Mayorkas has been negligent in his duties in protecting and defending the United States borders? The federal government has been negligent and has violated the Fourth Amendment? Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution, protecting our borders? And shameless little Joe Biden has the audacity to blame President Trump for the problems at the border today. And the U.S. media doesn't hold the fraudulent Joe accountable for his actions. Somebody had to write that on the teleprompter for Joe to read that it was President Trump who was to blame for the border crisis. But you know what? When you have a willing and a media who's an accomplice in the dismantling of our republic, how do you fight that? You know how we fight that? We fight that at the ballot box. And I know that I understand the cheating aspect of it. And certainly I do not put it behind the Democrat Party for cheating, the Uniparty for cheating. They did a masterful job. They cheated in 2016 in the Democrat presidential primary. They cheated in 2020. There is no doubt in my mind they cheated in 2020. There is no way, shape, or form that Joe Biden, as unfit as he is, got 81 million votes. And that's where the doubt is. And it's been proven. Slowly it comes out about the voting irregularities. 6 to 8 people in the documentary 2000 Mules have been indicted on tampering with elections. And suddenly, you know, oh, it's an election denier. Oh, and speaking of election deniers, Hillary Rodham Clinton is now resurfacing. Oh yeah, have you heard that too? Okay, so here we have little Joe Biden, the liar, blaming President Trump, and we have him hiring six of the 51 lying intelligence officials are now working at taxpayer expense in the U.S. government under the Biden regime, and then Hillary Rodham Clinton is resurfacing. The Clinton Global Initiative, CGI. So the Clintons now have found another funding source for stealing money. I'm sorry, for funding, and it is to help the Ukrainian people, help rebuild Ukraine. Yeah. So there's a war going on in Ukraine, and the Clinton Global Initiative is going to be raising money. I talked about this last week to help the Ukrainian people. And boy, you know, the Clintons have a great track record. They helped rebuild Haiti. We know how that went. But Hillary Rodham Clinton was with us. She appeared on Jen Psaki's show for her softball interview. And the election denier Hillary Rodham Clinton still maintaining the Russians and Putin interfered with her election in 2016. And you remember that little election in 2016 because – you know, Hillary Rodham Clinton was the heir apparent to Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama. And this is where Hillary Rodham Clinton and the DNC that was led by little Debbie Wasserman Schultz had also cheated, right? They cheated and they stole the election from Senator Bernie Sanders. And Bernie Sanders' followers and supporters were absolutely outraged. Many of them walked out of the Democrat National convention. That's how pissed off they were. But don't feel sorry for Commie Sanders, because Commie Sanders, Bernie Sanders, he's the one that casted the deciding vote to give Hillary Rodham Clinton the domination for the Democrat Party for President of the United States. And his supporters, of course, they know that Hillary cheated, and it was proven. And little Debbie Wasserman Schultz, she had to abruptly step down at the before the DNC convention opened. She had to abruptly step down. So 7 years later now, Hillary Rodham Clinton is still out there, and she's still denying losing the 2016 election, and she stated that the Russians stole her election. I got a little clip of that conversation that Hillary Rodham Clinton, the election denier, had with Jenna Psaki last week. And, of course, she launched some softballs. But, you know, got to give props to Hillary Rodham Clinton. She is one protected species in Washington, D.C. I mean, here's a woman who helped fund the Steele dossier. And the Steele dossier was a concocted and manufactured Russian collusion disinformation campaign. And it was funded, the Christopher Steele document was funded by Hillary Rodham Clinton, the DNC, and perhaps the Obama-Biden regime. And there's been no consequences for those actions. Matter of fact, she now proudly, and she could be considered the wicked man as well. She has that proud look and a lying tongue. And her and her husband now have found a new funding vehicle for their riches and to help their daughter, Chelsea Hubble Clinton, gain some extra funds should the mom and dad Clinton pass. And they're going to use Ukraine as the funding vehicle. I mean, after all, Joe Biden did it with his crime family, use Ukraine for a funding vehicle. Why not Hillary Rodham Clinton and open it up to 190 nations to all contribute? And you've got the Clinton regime, you know, siphoning off their dig. But here is Hillary Rodham Clinton, who concocted the Steele dossier of Russian disinformation, of Russian collusion against Donald Trump. Remember, it was the pantsuit princess who manufactured the Steele dossier. There's still no proof that the Russians have interfered with the election. Certainly the Russians didn't interfere with her losing the election in 2016. That has never been proven. But there's one thing that's been proven. Hillary Clinton, to this day, 7 years later, continues to deny the election. And there's no outrage by the U.S. media that's run by and owned by the Democrat National Committee. If you're eating, you might want to put some food down, because it's going to be hard to eat and listen to Hillary Rodham Clinton regurgitate her nonsense.
The 2016 Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton is still in the news for reasons. She sat down with MSNBC's Jen Psaki to talk her friend Vladimir Putin, and what she claims to be his role in her election loss. Let's take a look at this clip that went viral over the weekend.
Vladimir Putin has obviously your friend and mine.
Yes, indeed.
He has intervened in our election in the past.
Right.
It's not something, as you experienced firsthand, it's not something we talk about a lot. Do you fear that that is something that could be happening for 2024? And do you think we should be talking about it more?
Well, I think we should be talking about it more, because I don't think, despite all of the deniers, there's any doubt that he interfered in our election, or that he has interfered in many ways in the internal affairs of other countries, funding political parties, funding, you know, political candidates, buying off, government officials in different places. He hates democracy. He particularly hates the West, and he especially hates us. And he has determined that he can do two things simultaneously. he can try to continue to damage and divide us internally. And he's quite good at it. And sadly, he has a lot of apologists and enablers in our own country, people who either don't see the danger or dismiss it out of hand or maybe agree with some of the you know, positions he's taken on certain things, including his barbaric invasion of Ukraine. And so dividing us and then trying to seize territory in such a brutal way to try to expand his reach, to try to restore the Russian Empire, if not the former Soviet Union, that is who he is.
Hillary seems to know more about Putin than the rest of us. Will the supposed Russian interference happen again? Well, here's what Clinton had to say.
I fear that, you know, the Russians have proved themselves to be quite adept at interfering, and if he has a chance, he'll do it again.
Joining us now to weigh in is organizer, writer, and contributor to Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, Bryce Green. Bryce, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Bryce, let's start with this statement that I think triggered a lot of people, this idea that we don't talk about Russian interference very often. Does that ring true to you coming from Jen Psaki?
Well, it triggers me. I mean, one of the main things that that was a talking point in the wake of the 2016 election was just how much Russia interfered with the election. And they devised a clever little turn of phrase. They called hacking the election, which didn't really say much, but it left things up to the imagination. It allowed the anti-Russian sentiment that runs deep in America, especially since the Cold War, and has been ramped up since then. It allowed that anti-Russian sentiment to take hold of the imagination. So people assume that, oh, well, maybe Vladimir Putin hacked into the actual machines and changed the vote totals. Or maybe it was those, you know, little crappy memes that changed the way the election ran. But, you know, any honest...
So there you have it. And you know, I'm not going to go any further. I couldn't crop the clip together. But he's right. The gentleman is right. You know, we've been talking about it. But you know what hasn't been talked about and spoken about? It's how Hillary Rodham Clinton was the one who created and manufactured the phony Russian collusion steel dossier document. And now she shamelessly, 7 years later, she's now sitting down and she's legitimized by a former member of the Biden-Harris regime. She's legitimized. There's no consequences for Hillary Rodham Clinton's actions, whether it's Benghazi and four Americans being killed, including Christopher Stevens, Ambassador Christopher Stevens, including CIA Sean Smith, including Tyrone Woods and Glenn Doherty, two Navy SEALs. There's no consequences. And then there's no consequences for her actions in stating, what difference does it make if it was a bunch of guys out for an evening walk? Really? You're that callous and cavalier? There were Al-Qaeda operatives, Al-Shabaab operatives, Islamic jihadists who were walking with rocket launchers and AK-47s. Is that a typical walk in Benghazi that we're supposed to accept? And why should we accept the fact that our American soldiers who were stationed 1 mile away from the Benghazi compound were told time after time to stand down while the U.S. compound was being overrun, and our U.S. ambassador was in peril? And you, Hillary Rodham Clinton, Barack Hussein Totoro Obama, and the Vice President of the United States, Joe Biden, all were complicit in having people stand down, and we're supposed to forget about that. We're supposed to forget about the 2016 cheating that caused your DNC chair to abruptly resign the day the DNC convention was to start. We're just supposed to forget about that. Little Debbie Wasserman Schultz, not to mention Debbie Wasserman Schultz's other indiscretions with the Iwan brothers, but that's for another show. And again, 2023, 7 years later, Hillary Rodham Clinton continues to deny the election of 2016, a legitimate election, all because she lost and it had to be Russian disinformation because she lost. I mean, think about it. She could smell Monica Lewinsky's stained dress. That's how close she was to capturing the White House. And she lost. She lost to an outsider, and it proved to be the right thing. So much so that the establishment today is scared. The Washington, D.C. syndicate is scared. The global syndicate is scared. They're scared of we the people. We're not taking the nonsense and the BS that's being thrown at us on a daily basis. We remember the 2016 election. We remember the 2020 election. We remember the 51 intelligence officials who lied to the American people to influence the 2020 presidential election. We saw how Twitter tried to influence and did influence the 2020 election. We saw how Facebook was influencing the 2020 elections. We saw the global initiative to lock America down influence the 2020 elections, all to get rid of Donald J. Trump. And how else do we know this? By recent events. How is it that Joe Biden and all of his indiscretions, his corruption, there's no proof, really. The House has been looking at, and they have found paper trails. We have two whistleblowers, two intimate whistleblowers, and they even named themselves. They came out in public because they were two former business associates. And what is the Democrat Party narrative? There's no proof. Can you imagine? There's no proof. Even in that interview that election denier Hillary Rodham Clinton gave to Jen Psaki, they both were giddy about, there's no evidence. Why, there's no proof. I can't believe they're engaged in an impeachment where there's no proof. I mean, it's not like he took a phone call, right? It's not like he took a phone call. Oh, you remember that one, don't you? When Joe Biden had diarrhea of the mouth and he admitted to a quid pro quo, which implicated not only him, but it implicated Barack Hussein Totoro Obama. And right away, the D.C. syndicate got into action. And what did they do? They attempted to impeach, and they impeached President Trump over a phone call. Why? To inquire about Joe Biden and the diarrhea of the mouth.
Tonight, there's some troublesome news for Joe Biden. No, it's not what you think or what you may have heard from some other news outlets. We generally don't dabble in that kind of stuff here, at least not on this newscast. No, this is actually a lot more important, because it may have to do with malfeasance, may have to do with corruption on the part of our former vice president. I want you to listen to what Mr. Biden said last year about getting a prosecutor in Ukraine fired.
I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. I think it was, 6 hours. I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Oh, son of a bitch. Got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid at the time.
They put in someone who was solid. So Joe Biden and Barack Hussein Totoro Obama got a special prosecutor fired because that special prosecutor was looking into this energy company called Burisma. And guess what? Who sat on the board of Burisma? Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden. Who sat on the board of Burisma? John Kerry's stepson, Chris Hines. Oh, son of a gun. John Kerry. There's another anti-American whose name's been floated about, bandied about. You know, why hasn't Kerry been prosecuted for violating the Logan Act? Huh? So suddenly, Joe Biden's phone call and diarrhea of the mouth, because he tries to play that big man on campus at this forum, he exposes the fact that Barack Hussein Satoru Obama was solid on withholding, doing a quid pro quo, withholding a $1 billion loan guarantee to fire the special prosecutor looking into Burisma. And the president of the United States at the time, President Trump, hearing about this, isn't it incumbent upon him to find out if there has been corruption? Why would you do that? Why would you withhold a $1 billion loan guarantee to one of our allies? And Joe Biden was big man on campus. But you can't do that. You know, you can't go after an establishment player, someone as dishonest as Joe Biden, because the House of Cards could come tumbling down. It could expose John Kerry. It could expose Nancy Pelosi. It could expose Mitt Romney. And it could expose a whole host of others. And the U.S. media is not concerned about those establishment players. And they continue to prove it on a daily basis. Today, in 2023. Just last week with Iran. How is it that the Iran deal was never, never taken up by the United States Senate? It was never brought to the United States Senate by the Obama-Biden regime. And once again, it was not by the Biden-Harris regime. Yet billions of dollars of cash exchanged in the middle of the night to Iran back in 2014 and 15. Yet there was no treaty that was ever discussed by the United States Senate. And once again, the Iran deal has been violated, and it was done by our own administration, and nothing's talked about. Then we have a prisoner exchange just last week, and $6.5 billion of cash released to Iran, and now it's gone out of the news. It's gone. Senator Menendez conveniently has been indicted on corruption charges. And yet one of the axis of evil, Iran, the theocratic terrorist regime of Iran, is allowed to continue its operation to obtain nuclear weapons, nuclear power, nuclear cause, in direct violation of the Iran deal. They will not allow the United Nations inspectors to come in and inspect their nuclear facilities, which is a violation of the Iran deal, and nothing's done. They are rewarded. Iran was rewarded by the Biden regime of $6.5 billion. And yet, little Joe Biden continues to violate every aspect of the presidency, every deal that's been put on board. He's violated the trust of the American people, and there have been no consequences. And all they keep talking about is yet another indictment of President Trump. Jack Smith has brought in somebody from the world court now, to help with go after President Trump of war crimes or some shit like that. And yet we have the violation of the trust by Joe Biden. More and more keeps coming out. Cody Babalinsky, a former business partner of the Bidens, confirms the big guy is Joe Biden, confirms he met with Vice President Biden and Hunter Biden, confirms it. And yet another whistleblower comes forth who is a former business partner and confirms it, that Joe Biden did this and Vice President Biden did that and Joe Biden was in on this. And yet there's no proof, folks. We're told there's no proof. Nope. You're looking at it, and it's raining. No, it's not raining. It's just excess, you know, cloud moisture drop. It's not raining. Why am I getting wet? It's just your figment of your imagination. Here, take a pill. And it's one lie after another. And you know what? Frankly, the American people are fed up. We're not stupid. And we're not going to take this crap anymore. We're tired of our Bill of Rights being abused. We're tired of our liberties and freedoms being taken away unilaterally. Unilaterally taken away without congressional approval. And being force-fed this global initiative. Whether it's the climate change hoax that's being shoved down our throat, and it's affecting and infecting our wallet. And now we're being lied to with disinformation and misinformation by Biden and his anti-American regime that the economy is great. That's absolute horseshit. It's an absolute lie. And sadly, we've elevated the United States media to a point where why aren't they holding this regime accountable? And that's where we've made our mistake, because the media is bought and paid for by the Democrat National Committee. The DNC owns and operates. And how do you know that? Oh, Vito, you're talking out of your ass on this one. Really? How is it that when you turn on MSNBC, you hear these cliches and talking points? And then you turn on CNN, and a different person is using the very same verbiage. And then you go on Twitter, and you hear and you read Akeem Jeffries. He's using the same exact terminology that you just heard on MSNBC and CNN. When you don't listen to those stations, and you watch it for 3 minutes, and you hear the same cliches. And then you hear the same cliches by Jamie Raskin, and you hear the same cliche, okay, by Chuck Schumer, and the same cliche by Elizabeth Pocahontas Warren, and the same cliches by the White House. The same exact verbiage. Now, I don't hear that coming out of the Republican Party. And I use that term Republican Party loosely because we have a two-party system, and that's how you identify these political individuals, their party affiliation. We hear a coordinated attack by the Democrat Party, but we hear nothing from the Republicans. Yeah, you have Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert and Matt Gaetz. They come out and they say their thing, and those are the chosen ones on the other side to kind of create that atmosphere that we have. We do have some do-gooders and onlookers who are going to voice their opinion. But it is no coincidence that when you turn on ABC News, you hear a certain phrase. And it's exonerating Biden regime, indicting President Trump, and then you turn on CBS and you hear the same exact verdict. And then you turn on Meet the Press, and the host there is opining the same exact verbiage that you heard on ABC and CBS. And then you turn on CNN, and you hear the CNN chimpanzees using the same verbiage and cliches that you just heard on CNN, Jamie Raskin, Hakeem Jeffries, Barack Obama, and it's like, how do you deduce anything else from this? And the campaign of disinformation and misinformation is alive and well out of the Democrat Party. The campaign of disinformation and misinformation is alive and well. We are not the radicals, folks. We are not the extremists. We conservatives, the United States of America, and we truly believe that those working in Washington, D.C. do not have our best interests at heart. We, the people, understand this thing called the U.S. Constitution. We understand the Bill of Rights. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the people, or the right of the people to peaceably assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. We have that right to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Democrat Party, the Uniparty, has labeled that as insurrection. The Uniparty has denied Article 6, Clause 2 of the U.S. Constitution. The Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuant thereof, and all treaties made, which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land. And the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the constitutional laws of any state to the contrary, notwithstanding. Did you hear that? Under the authority of the United States shall be the supreme law of the land, which means that the UN, any UN treaties, cannot be enforced in the United States. The Paris Accord should not be enforced in the United States. We should have never been taken off of energy independence. And global laws implemented and shoved down our throats, so much so that it's affected the inflation rate in the United States of America. Gas prices soared. Grocery prices the highest ever. Utility prices going out of the roof. How is an average family to pay for electricity 1 month at $200, the next month at $430, with virtually the same wattage being used each month. Gas prices, natural gas prices tripling in 1 year. Oh, the economy is good. The economy is great. Absolute disinformation and misinformation. It's a lie. That's what disinformation and misinformation, it's a lie. And anything that's being done by the executive branch concerning the Second Amendment, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of the state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed when this regime, the Biden-Harris regime, infringes upon our constitutional right to bear arms and supplants it with the UN Arms Treaty, the President of the United States should be impeached for treason. Article 6, Clause 2 of the U.S. Constitution so says, and it affirms that the Second Amendment is superior over any international laws. But you see, politicians today in Washington, D.C., these old-timers like little Joe Biden, the little dictator that he is, and his anti-American regime, they have zero respect for the U.S. Constitution. They want to suppress your speech. They want to suppress my speech. They want to suppress our speech. And how do they do that? They instill fear. And they do that by calling us hate speech. They do that because we're hate mongers. And as conservatives, we love the U.S. Constitution. We love what our founders put in place. And we're appalled by our elected officials perverting the rule of law for their own self-interest. And the fact this media in the United States, which we've elevated to a point that we think that they are the cure-all, okay? They are the arbiters of truth. They have failed the American people. And the attacks on Donald Trump have proven that. And the fact that we have that President Trump's been indicted on, what, 55 or 53 charges with regards to the Presidential Records Act, which has never been, which is not even mentioned in those charges. And Joe Biden hasn't been indicted on one count of stealing classified documents as a United States senator and as a vice president is reprehensible, but it shows how biased and how partisan our government has gotten, and they are on a mission to stop Donald Trump, which is a mission to stop we the people. They don't want this document, the U.S. Constitution, to govern us any longer. They want us to be a democracy so that they, the Washington, D.C. syndicate, the powers to be in D.C., can dictate to you and me what we should say, how we should feel, what we should do, and who comes across into our country illegally, unvetted, unvaccinated, and we're to accept that. We have a corrupt government, and Joe Biden is the perfect corrupt chimpanzee to be the front man because he is not mentally fit enough to do this on his own. All of the alumni from the Obama regime are running the show behind him, and it's apparent that the Department of Justice is as corrupt as every other department in the U.S. government today.
And he is not doing it alone, because the hits keep coming, Vito, as House Republicans continue their probe and the possible criminal violations committed by the Biden crime family. John Solomon writes that two federal agencies, the FBI and IRS, looked into allegations that Biden's 2020 presidential campaign engaged in campaign finance criminal violations during the 2020 election. And it's alleged that the campaign permitted a politically connected lawyer to intervene by paying off Hunter Biden's extensive tax debt. However, investigators were thwarted by federal prosecutors. These new revelations have been uncovered by congressional investigators. The allegations initially gained daylight during the interviews conducted by the House investigators with two IRS whistleblowers and a retired FBI supervisor that went unheeded. Evidence uncovered over the past few weeks seemed to support those allegations. So, yes, the Bidens are corrupt, but they're also getting help from the FBI, the IRS, and the DOJ, just as you have articulated and laid out a powerful case. And that means that the evidence was discovered by the House Ways and Means Committee and the House Judiciary Committee and the House Oversight Committee, and yet no impeachment has been filed. There's been a lot of talk about it, but I haven't seen any. Impeachment that they're talking about, have they been filed? Have they been acted on? Has it become official as of today? I don't think so.
No.
And like you said, all those documents that Biden had in his garage as a senator, highly illegal, no charges have been filed.
No, none. And see, this is what really it's telling. It should tell, I don't care what your party affiliation is. I don't care who you support. But I got to tell you, if you're sitting there and you're saying, wait, you know, Donald Trump, he has these documents, he took these documents and look how they were streamed. You know, Judge Napolitano made a good point today when he was talking about Bob Menendez and the photos that were released and how the Department of Justice orchestrates these photos for a photo shoot. And, you know, they spread out the $500,000 in cash on a towel, a black towel, okay, to show all this money. But that money was not found that way. They were found in envelopes. So what they should have shown was the stacks of envelopes with all the $100 bills and say, okay, that one was from Javier Baez, that one was from Hanna, that one was from Uribe, okay, and you know, point to where they were and then spread it out. And the same thing goes for President Trump. They made it look like that President Trump had these documents strewn all over his house, all over Mar-a-Lago, and that one of the newsreaders had even alluded to that President Trump would invite these foreign dignitaries in, and they had access to all these documents, which was absolute hogwash bullshit, and it was inserting their own opinion. They were in a locked safe. They were under Secret Service protection, and the DOJ had to go in, the feds had to go in, and they had to break that safe. They had to go into that safe to get that. Now, let's converse that with Joe Biden. Joe Biden, as Senator Biden and as Vice President Biden, had documents in his garage next to his 1968 Corvette. And, you know, the one thing that Joe Biden can do well is brag. And he brags about that 1968 Corvette. Well, guess what was parked next to that 1968 Corvette? There was something like 12,000 documents. Classified documents, which means that Joe Biden stole those documents. I'm not saying that. I'm repeating exactly what Nancy Pelosi stated. Just 2 months ago, Nancy Pelosi trying to indict President Trump. She said, you know, as a person with a security clearance, I have to go into a locked room to view these documents. And I can't take them. I have to leave those documents there. And I have this security clearance. Really? Okay. So that means as a member of Congress, as you said, you don't have the right to take those documents. And you know what? If you take those documents, it's called theft. It's called theft. So that means that Senator Joe Biden, when he had that security clearance, he was viewing those documents. He did not have the right to take those documents off site, which means he stole those documents. Now, if Joe Biden had been a Republican, the media would be going for the jugular and stating that, look at this, Joe Biden stole those documents. Now we're talking about not 1,000 pages. We're not talking about 5,000 pages. We're talking about 18,000. One expert stated it takes one document to expose okay, our covert operatives. Just one document. And Joe Biden has done that. He's exposed our covert operatives. We don't know how, but he also had documents in the Penn Biden Center, which, guess what? The Chinese, the communist Chinese government, had funded the Penn Biden Center to the tune of $72 million. Oh, and if that's not good enough for you, Joe Biden had it in a fourth location, his office in Chinatown, Washington, D.C., Chinatown. And what have we been learning this past year about Chinatowns around the United States? Communist China has set up Chinese police stations, yeah, to monitor their citizens who have immigrated to the United States. Not only monitor them, I'm sure they've compromised those Chinese citizens, former Chinese communist Chinese citizens who are now relocated and immigrated to the United States. So how do we know who's been monitoring Joe Biden's Washington, D.C., Chinatown office? Where is the outrage? Don't tell me about the rule of law, Jamie Raskin, because that means absolutely nothing, because if you're nothing but a partisan hack. You're bought and paid for by the Democrat National Committee. And so is ABC, and so is CBS, and so is CNN, and PBS, and NPR. Because if they had any ounce of integrity, they would start calling to question politicians of any party affiliation. But because Joe Biden is a Democrat, he is a protected species. He was installed for a reason. He's Grandpa Joe. Little Joe Biden never could have attained the highest office in the United States if it wasn't for Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, and cheating. End of story. That little twerp, he is an idiot. He's a useful idiot. He reads from teleprompters. He can't even conduct himself any longer. And his performance this past week at the United Nations, specifically standing on stage with Lula, was telling enough that Joe Biden's mental abilities, his mental health, has declined rapidly. When I saw him fiddling with that earpiece, and he stood there for 4 minutes and 50 seconds, still fiddling, trying to figure out that earpiece, that told me all I needed. I've seen that live, Al. I've seen it. I've seen that condition, and it's only going to get worse. And the abuse that they're putting this man through, I don't really care. He deserves to be abused because he's been nothing but a liar and a thief his entire political life. But you know what? He is the president of the United States. He carries that moniker, and there's a degree that states that position should not be sullied and soiled, and it has been. And it's been done by the Washington, D.C. syndicate, who elevated this individual who is not competent enough to serve as president of the United States.
Well, underneath all that, you can really tell a lot about an administration, political administration, by some of the programs that they start with our tax dollars. And the Biden administration, and this is a relatively small dollar program, but it's very telling, and you more than likely will not hear about it anywhere else but here. Maybe WorldNet Daily is reporting it, but that's probably as far as it's going to go. But, you know, get a load of this. The Biden administration shells out $200,000 taxpayer dollars for a gay mentoring program to connect gay teens with gay adults. How's that going to work out? Well, a Nebraska professor was handed over $200,000 from the National Institutes of Health. Why the NIH is even involved with this is a whole nother discussion. And this money was handed out in June for a program to connect gay youth with gay adults for mentoring, according to the grant. University of Nebraska-Lincoln professor Katie Edwards is piloting the online mentoring program to prevent adversities among trans and other gender minority youth. Was handed over $200,000 from the NIH, according to the grant description. The program plans to connect gay youth with gay adults. And the gay youth are anywhere between the target targeting youth ranges ages 14 to 17. Now, groups like this targeting gays, gay children with gay men is relatively new because they have Boys and Girls Clubs of America, which provide a very good service, and they provide mentors, adult mentors, for single-family mothers who have boys and they want their kids to have an adult male influence. Boys and Girls Clubs fit that niche within within families to help these kids. But never in my life have I seen a gay-to-gay, specifically gay-to-gay mentoring program, and this is going to go horribly wrong. How can it not?
Are you surprised that the Democrat Party would support breaking down the nuclear family? I mean, seriously, would you? I am not surprised, one, that the Democrat Party is a proponent of taking God out of society, and that they support the destruction of the nuclear family. That's been given them the success in this whole politics part of this whole partisan politics, the politics of identity politics.
Yeah, and this is exactly what that's going to do. And then on the COVID front, I don't know if you heard about Merck. Merck is a drug manufacturer. They came out with a drug called Molnupiravir, which is a COVID drug. But the problem with this COVID drug, Vito, is that it may be causing the COVID virus to mutate. And they've gotten okay to, it was tried out in Israel, and Merck has gotten the okay from the FDA to go ahead and push this drug here in the United States, knowing that it could cause COVID to mutate. So all I can tell you, if you want to take the shots, go take them. But I, for one, very cynical, and I don't trust them. I never took the shot. I've had COVID. Took about a week to get over. It was like a very bad flu. And I didn't see a point in it. It doesn't do anything. Everybody gets
no,
it.
Wait. Yeah. And when doctors say that the best drug for COVID is getting COVID, that builds up your immune system. I've gotten it. I had it. And thankfully, I lost 10 pounds, which is great. I was looking for a way to lose weight. But you know what? It's like the flu, like you said.
Now, everybody's different, and everybody's going to react differently. There is no one reaction for all people. People are different. However, you got to keep in mind, too, that prior to COVID, 60,000 people died of the flu each and every year. You just never heard about it. Now, did you hear the news of this death, Matteo Messino Denaro? Does that name ring a bell?
No, the only one I know of Matteo was the former president of Italy.
Matteo Messina Denaro. He's the last godfather of the Cosa Nostra and the Sicilian Mafia. And yes, they do exist. He died of cancer at age 61. And supposedly with this guy's record, it's a good thing that he died. He's got a lot of dead bodies. His reputation and by his own admission is that he has killed enough people to fill an entire cemetery. So to the Matteo Messino Denaro family, adios, amigo.
Denaro. Interesting. Okay.
Not De Niro, like the actor, De Niro, D-E-N-A-R.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. One other story, I don't know if you heard, on a totally separate vein, is that in Canada, Trudeau and Zelensky gave a standing ovation to a Nazi war veteran.
That was sick. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was sick. You didn't hear about, the Canadian Parliament, Trudeau and Zelensky give inadvertent ovation to Nazi war veteran. The speaker apologizes to Jews worldwide for encouraging Parliament to hail Yaroslav Hunka, 98, a volunteer fighter in a Waffen SS unit, as a Ukrainian and Canadian hero. The Waffen SS were a high-level Nazi brigade. Nazis were bad. The SS were more Nazi than the Nazis, and they were responsible for. They were the muscle for the Nazis, and they killed millions of people. And for Zelensky, Ukraine has a long history during World War II of collaboration with the Nazis, and the fact that him and Trudeau are giving a standing O to a former 98-year-old Waffen SS officer. They had to have known it, because something of this level does not happen without it being totally scripted and choreographed, and takes months to put something like this together for one man to get a standing O from two world leaders. So they knew what they were doing, and now they're trying to back away from it. Like you said, some things tell you everything you need to know. This tells me everything that I need to know about Zelensky, about Trudeau, their ties to Marxism as a driver for this, and their sympathies for the Nazis and other totalitarian leaders. Is disgusting.
You know,
this story should be front and center on every newspaper across the country, but I fear that will not be the case.
Well, it is front and center in every news outlet, okay, including Yahoo and MSNBC, Apple. You know what it is? Canadian Parliament accidentally honors Nazi. I saw that accidentally. And then I saw it on Jihad Watch. And then I saw it accidentally. And you're right. It doesn't happen by accident. And in the article, it states that Hunka, 98, was sitting in the gallery when he was described as a Ukrainian hero and a Canadian hero. And there's little Justin Trudeau, and he's out there, he's clapping. And then you got Zelensky, who has his fist pumped in the air at Hunka. Now, they're celebrating a Nazi. Don't tell me that you, and don't tell us and insult us, that you all support Israel. It's unbelievable how the media is quickly sanitizing this hatred. Canadian Parliament accidentally honors Nazi. Accidentally. And you're right, Al. You need to tell me that the Canadian parliamentary historian didn't do his or her job? Yeah, I'm going to use pronouns, his, her. They didn't do their job in vetting this individual? Are you telling me that even Zelensky, who sits here and he cries poor mouth and he got to fight the war against Russians, and he's honoring a Nazi because he's a Ukrainian hero? So the Ukrainian hero is a Nazi, and that's okay. And we're supposed to give another $47 million or $140 million, $120 million, $47 billion to Ukraine, and this is the thanks that our allies get? Unbelievable. And sanitize it by Canadian Parliament accidentally honors Nazi. Wow. Well, we accidentally stopped funding Canada.
Well, it's even worse because Hunka, he fought for the 1st Ukrainian Division. The 1st Ukrainian Division was a voluntary unit commanded by the Nazis. It was known as the Waffen SS Galicia Division, or the SS 14th Waffen Division. It was responsible for mass murder and crimes against humanity during the Holocaust, according to Canada's Friends of the Simon Wiesenthal Center. And it's funny how they use the word, they use the word accidental, inadvertent, even the Times of Israel, in their storyline heading, Zelensky gives inadvertent ovation to Nazi war veteran. There is nothing inadvertent, accidental with this. It was, they believe it. So, yeah, it's real interesting because you keyed in on that word used in the headline for this story at various news outlets through social media and the Internet. So why are all these, including the Times of Israel, why would they give a pass?
Because the world – okay, first, let me give props to Lucid Libertarian who's in the chat room. He said, Zelensky, of course, would praise a Nazi. His country is full of them, and half his troops are neo-Nazis. So spot on, Lucid. So why would they? How many billions of dollars has the world collectively given to Zelensky to fight the Ruskies? Huh? How many? How many? Can you imagine now we go out and you condemn Zelensky and you stop the spigots of money funding Zelensky and his powers to be, and you suddenly turn that spigot off? And you have to now excuse what the Canadian Parliament did and the Canadian leader did and what the leader of Ukraine just did, how they spit in the face of every Jew in the world, both of them, and the Canadian Parliament. They didn't accidentally honor this Nazi, Funke. They didn't accidentally. They did it. There was a planned honoring. And Zelensky has plenty of Nazis in the heritage of Ukraine. Why would you bring light to this now? I mean, the United States has given, almost $300 billion of taxpayer money to a Jew hater? Basically, that's what it boils down to. How do you justify that?
Great question.
Right?
Yeah, if our president ever has a news conference that he's actually taking questions, maybe we'll get an answer. Oh, well, maybe his spokesperson, Jean-Pierre, will answer the question, but she doesn't answer questions.
Yes,
she deflects.
It was an accident. Certainly the president does not stand by those remarks, but he understands it was an accidental. It was accidentally honoring, and there was no intention by that. It was just an accident. Okay.
Yeah, and I steer you to Zelensky's office and the Canadian government for answers to those questions. Nothing will be said here.
Yeah, I suggest that you call the Ukrainian embassy and you talk to Zelensky and see what he says. You're exactly right. There you go. And Peter, why do you keep asking these silly questions, Peter? I don't understand. I mean, we could talk about the economy, how great the economy is, and I don't understand why you keep bringing these. It was an accident, okay? Don't you read the news? It was an accident. Well, accidents cause people.
Well, the irony story of the week comes from Jihad Watch. We did everything to make your transition here easier, and this is how you repay us, by stabbing us in the back. The Lesbians and Gay Alliance feel betrayed. Katrina Stackpool, a lesbian in Hamtramck, Michigan, voiced the left's feelings of betrayal that Hamtramck, Michigan, now under the control of Islamic groups, their whole city council is controlled by Muslims, Muslim majority, blocked the display of homosexual flags, the rainbow flag. We created this is what the lesbian group is saying. Quote, we created nonprofits to help feed, clothe, find housing. We did everything we could to make your transition here, meaning the Muslims in Hamtramck, to make your transition here easier, and this is how you repay us, by stabbing us in the back, close quote. The leftist Islamic alliance is breaking down, and leftists are dismayed. They thought Muslims were another people of color, a victimhood group. These unwitting ethnocentrists never imagined that Muslims could have an agenda of their own. So a prime flag ban sparks accusations of betrayal in this tiny Michigan city. Hamtramck, Michigan, a city of 28,000, was once so Polish it was dubbed Little Warsaw, has now become Muslim-dominated, Muslim-majority, and controlled by an all-Muslim city council. So how does that feel? The irony from the gay mafia and the Democrats.
Well, you know what? Just really quick, they can blame the Southern Poverty Law Center for sanitizing, okay, and trying to instill fear into the hearts, okay? Because 15 years ago, we first reported about Hamtramck, Michigan, and the change it was experiencing, okay? And we were called hate mongers, and we warned the citizens of Hamtramck that this would happen. Because this is exactly what happens. You sit there and you support and you go arm in arm, okay, with the Muslim Brotherhood and their front groups. And when they become the majority, guess what? You become extinct. And they will push you aside because your rights don't matter. It's about supremacy and superiority. We reported this 15 years ago, and we're proven right once again. And you can blame the Southern Poverty Law Center because as long as they're receiving funds from the Muslim Brotherhood, they will excuse this behavior and label anybody who tells the truth, like Global Patriot Radio, as hate mongers. Bingo. Thank you, Southern Poverty Law Center, for proving our point and for proving that we are once again correct at Global Patriot Radio. Correct, Al?
Vindicated.
Ago, we reported about him.
Again.
Yep. Again. Again. And this is one of our first topics that we talked about, Hamtramck, Michigan, and demanding that the Muslim call to prayer be played five times a day, okay, and the Hamtramck City Council approved it even though the citizens of Hamtramck were opposed to it. Bingo. And we told you that this was going to happen. Oh, man, we did it my way. You know, if we had it my way, we were right again. We were vindicated. Well, we got a minute left. Hey, check out Hank Jones, Poly Sports Wednesday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Check out Minister Simon Dukduk and the Straight Way of Grace Ministry. He's on Saturday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Thank you, Lucid Libertarian. Thank you, Bigfoot. Thank you, Sue. So glad that you're out of the hospital. God bless you, Sue. And thank you, James, and everybody out there in podcast land. Thank you so much for your support of Global Patriot Radio. Alan, I'll be back next Monday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And we'll see what headlines they're going to take off, take the Bidens off the front page once again next Friday. This coming Friday, what will the news be? Who will be indicted to distract from the truth? Thank you very much for joining us. God bless you guys. Be safe out there.
Adios, amigos. Sue, get well soon. We love you.
Yes.
See you, Al.
It was
adios. You know what we didn't talk about was the impending government shutdown. Maybe I'm sure that story will keep going. We should talk about that a little bit because I tell you, I hope there's a shutdown. Because it is, essential personnel, essential workers in the government continue working. All non-essential workers get a paid vacation because when everyone is called back to, which they eventually will be, then they get all their pay retroactive and they get a free vacation. But what it does is it creates a divide between the essential workers and the non-essential workers, and the United States, the citizenry will suddenly see that at least 60% of government workers are considered non-essential. and that maybe we do have a bloated government. It is such a great story. I love that story.
So let me ask you this, Al. We've got in the United States right now, we have 50 departments of education. Each state has a department of education. Each state has a department of a department of health. Okay, so each state has that. Each state has an attorney general. So you know, isn't it amazing that essential workers would have to not get paid? I mean, we look at the Department of Homeland Security. They hired six new people. They hired three people directly on their payroll. Three liars from the three former intelligence officials, including Clapper, Brennan, and Kolb. And they're all going to be they're all hired now at taxpayer expense. So for some bull crap job, that's an absolute bullshit job. Mayorkas now is hiring somebody for capping drugs, fentanyl. How did Tom Holman have it under control when he was secretary of the Department of Homeland Security? How did he do it? He didn't have that extra layer of government. He did it, didn't he?
Follow up on the Trudeau story. He's blaming Russian propaganda for the Canadian Parliament honoring a Nazi, but Russian propaganda has nothing to do with Trudeau honoring a Nazi in Canadian Parliament. He is such a little douchebag.
Well, the DNC probably sent him those talking points. Hey, this works for us. It works for us. You have to use it.
God,
he's blaming Russian.
And I tell you, if the Republicans had any balls, they would say, that's it, no more funding for Ukraine, period.
Right?
We don't support Nazis.
You know what? And since spending bills emanate from the United States House, and Kevin McCarthy is the Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy can control those purse strings, and he should do exactly what you just said. Boom. No more funding for Ukraine. None. Zero. You insulted our greatest ally in the Middle East, and you know we did it because you hailed the guy as a Ukraine hero. So that tells you that there's the accidental. How is it accidental that Ukraine hails Hunka as a hero? He's a fucking Nazi.
Ponderous.
We can't make this stuff up.
No, you can't, and there's so much.
Oh, my God. It is absolutely laughable.
So sad.
Yeah, it is. Oh, boy. Oh,
all right. Well, you have a have a good week. And Sue.
Thank you.
Prayers your way, and hope that you recover from the setback and get you back at 100% soon, I hope.
Yes, and thank God you're out of the hospital. That's the main thing, and I know you've been through a lot lately, and, you know, this is hopefully they got your meds and, you know, getting under control. This is ridiculous, these medical practitioners and the way they're treating people today and friggin', you know, you give these illegal aliens all this shit, and the American people have to take a back seat. Thank you, Joe Biden. Okay. All right, have a good evening. You take care of yourself.
All right, you too.
I'll talk to you later this week. All right?
All right, have a great week. Bye for now.
That's all, folks.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Well, talk radio.